ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవాశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్ మధుకాండం మైత్రేయీ బ్రాహ్మణం మంత్ర 2.4.5 కంటిన్యూవేషన్. ఆత్మా వా అరే ద్రష్టవ్య శ్రోతవ్యో మంతవ్య నిదిత్యాసితవ్య మైత్రేయీ. ఆత్మనో వా అరే దర్శనేన శ్రవణేన మత్యాభిజ్ఞానేన ఇదం సర్వం విదితం. సో యాజ్ఞవల్క్య హీ బిగిన్స్ టు టీచ్ హిస్ డిసైపుల్ అండ్ ఎక్స్ వైఫ్ మైత్రేయీ ఫ్రమ్ మంత్ర 5 ఆన్వర్డ్స్. అండ్ యాజ్ ది ఫస్ట్ స్టెప్ హీ వాంట్స్ టు కన్ఫర్మ్ ది ఇంపార్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ వైరాగ్యం. So Atma alone is Paramananda Rupaha and all Anatma is either Dukkha Rupaha or Sukha Ananda Rupaha or Ananda Abhasa Rupaha. Only a seeming source of happiness. Yajnavalkya establishes it logically, showing nobody loves Anatma is unconditionally. Hence, he concludes that Anatma is not a source of true Ananda. This alone, Vidyaranya, he condenses in his Panchadashi. This is a very important text. In chapter 1, shloka number 9, he says, Tat prema atmartham anyatra naiva manyartham atmani atastat paramam tena paramananda atmanaha. Very nice shloka. In one shloka, Vidyaranya, he captures the entire essence of this fifth mantra. That's what we are seeing now. He says that love, which is in other things, is for the sake of self alone. He says the love is not for the sake of any other thing. Therefore, the love in the self is the highest. That is what this alone gives supreme blissful nature, dependable and everlasting. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. This entire shloka, he is capturing it here. So the same idea is condensed also in another text called Advaita Makaranda. In shloka 24, Ahameva sukham nanyate anyache naivatad dukkham amadartham nahi preyaha madartham na swatapriyam. In essence, Atma is Paramananda Rupaha, Parama Prema Aspadatva. That is the condensation. So because it is the object of unconditional love, therefore any seeker of Paramananda should seek Atma alone. So Atma is Paramananda Rupaha. Means it's of the nature of Ananda, happiness, Purnatvam, or fulfillment. Therefore, whoever seeks Atma should turn away from Anatma also. Because we saw in Kathopanishad, Paranchikani, Paranchikani, Vitrana Swayambhuhum, Tasmat, Parang Pashyati, Nantaratman, Kaschid Dhiraha, Pratyagatmanam, Aikshatim, Avritta Chakshuhum, Amrtatvam, Ichchan. Thus, Vairagyam is turning away from Anatma. Having attained Vairagyam, one should turn towards Atma. That alone is pointed out in this mantra. Atma va are drashtavyaha, shrotavyaha, mantavyaha, nididhyasitavyaha. So for Paramananda, unconditional Ananda, one has to practice Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And that is the topic here. So here, there are four words. Atma va, హరే ద్రష్టవ్య. సో అపరోక్షతయా జ్ఞాతవ్య. ద్రష్టవ్య మీన్స్ అపరోక్షతయా జ్ఞాతవ్య, డైరెక్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్. ఆత్మ హ్యాస్ టు బి డిస్కవర్డ్ యాజ్ నాన్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్. ద్రిష్, ద్రిష్ మీన్స్ అపరోక్ష జ్ఞానం. సో ఆత్మ ఈస్ టు బి డిస్కవర్డ్ యాజ్ ఎవర్ ఎవిడెంట్ ఐ. బై నోయింగ్ దిస్ అపరోక్ష ఆత్మ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్, వన్ అటైన్స్ ది అపరోక్ష ఆత్మ. బికాస్ నోయింగ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ అటైన్మెంట్ అన్లైక్ అదర్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ అనాత్మ ఇన్ ద డొమైన్. నోయింగ్ ది అనాత్మ ఇస్ నాట్ అటైనింగ్ ది అనాత్మ. స్వర్గ జ్ఞానం, స్వర్గ ఆల్సో ఇస్ అనాత్మ. స్వర్గ జ్ఞానం ఇస్ నాట్ స్వర్గ ప్రాప్తి. నోయింగ్ అండ్ అటైనింగ్ ఆర్ టూ డిస్టింక్ట్ పర్స్యూట్స్ ఇన్ ఆల్ అదర్ ఏరియాస్. దస్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు స్టడీ ది స్క్రిప్చర్స్ ఫస్ట్ and gain knowledge of swarga, and then one has to do sadhana, and as a result he would gain swargaloka. Therefore in the case of anatma there is a twofold process. Jnanam is the study of scriptures and praptihi is series of action. But in the case of atma we find knowledge itself happens to be attainment of moksha, because what I want to attain happens to be non different from myself. సిద్ధస్య విద్ధి సతయేవ సిద్ధి. స్వప్నోపమా స్వప్నోపమానాం ఖలు సిద్ధయోన్యః. స్వప్న ప్రబుద్ధస్య కథంను సత్యం సతిస్థితః కిం పునరేవ మాయాం. సిద్ధస్య సతా సిద్ధి విద్ధి ఏవ. సిన్స్ దట్ ఇస్ సిన్స్ ఆత్మా ఇస్ ఎవర్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్, దట్ ఇస్ ఐ అహం, దర్ ఇస్ నో అకాంప్లిష్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మా అదర్ దాన్ రికగ్నిషన్, owning up. Exactly like what? Exactly like the dreamer accomplishes the waker state, jagrat state, by merely getting up. No travel is involved. So for atma va drashtavyaha, we first we say aparokshataya jnana jnatavyaha, directly known, and then we say aparoksha jnanenam praptavyaha, attained also. Atma has to be accomplished through aparoksha jnanam without doing any action, just owning up yourself. Now the Upanishad points out that accomplishment of atma is only through aparoksha jnanam. Therefore our goal becomes now is aparoksha jnanam, how to gain that. So first goal was atma praptihi, and now the present goal is jnana praptihi. If atma jnana praptihi or aparoksha jnanam is the goal, then the question is, what is the means of attaining that aparoksha jnana? For that, the Upanishad answers, shrotavyaha mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha. So aparoksha jnanam is gained through shrotavyaha. So shravanam kartavyam, one has to do shravanam. Mantavyaha, one has to do mananam. And nididhyasitavyaha, one has to do nididhyasana. So threefold sadhanas are set for aparoksha jnanam. And what we mean by shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, that is another subject. We have discussed this several times earlier, but still for the sake of continuity, I will touch upon that also now. Shravanam is not mere listening. Shravanam is not mere listening. In this context, shravanam is defined as upakramadi shadlingaihi vedantanam tatparya nischayaha shravanam. That is upakrama upasamhara. Upakrama is commencement, beginning. Upasamhara is conclusion, too. Then abhyasa, practice. Then apurvata, that means it is unprecedented. And phala, the fruit. And arthavada, it's a passage glorifying that. And upapattihi, illustration. So these are the shadlingas. And if we translate in English, grasping the central teaching of Vedanta through a systematic analysis under a competent teacher, that is called shravana. All words are important. Here we have to note an important thing. Actually, I also add for a long time, for a length of time. Earlier I used to define it like that, but this is fine. This is good enough. So here we have to note an important thing. Shruti says, shrotavyaha. One should listen and systematically analyze. Now the question is, kaha shrotavyaha? What should be analyzed? The Upanishad only says shrotavyaha. Then we connect with the previous sentence where it said atma va drashtavyaha. That atma has to be extended to other things also. Atma va shrotavyaha, ఆత్మా వా మంతవ్యః, ఆత్మా వా నిధిధ్యాసితవ్యః, ఆత్మా షుడ్ బి అనలైజ్ అండ్ ఆత్మా షుడ్ బి ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ మననం అండ్ నిధిధ్యాసన. హియర్ వి హ్యావ్ అ ప్రాబ్లమ్ బికాస్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు అనలైజ్ ఆర్ రిఫ్లెక్ట్ ఆర్ మెడిటేట్ అపాన్ ఆత్మ, వి నీడ్ అన్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్ ఆర్ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ త్రూ విచ్ ది ఆత్మా క్యాన్ బి అనలైజ్డ్. If one has to analyze the microbes, for example, one requires a microscope. If one has to analyze the stars, one requires a telescope. To analyze Atma Swarupam, how will one do that and with what instrument is the question. We have already seen that actually. Atma is not available for pratyakshadi pramanam, pratyaksha gocharam. It cannot be done. Pratyaksha indriya avishayatvat. ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రమాణేన ఆత్మా శ్రోతుం నశక్యతే. ఆత్మవిచార యోగ్యః న భవతి. సో ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రమాణేన వి కెనాట్ డూ ఇట్. దెన్ క్యాన్ ఐ డూ అన్ అనాలిసిస్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మా ఇంటలెక్చువలీ? లైక్ సమ్ పీపుల్ సే మేక్ ఎన్ ఎన్క్వైరీ, హూ ఆమ్ ఐ, విత్డ్రా ఫ్రమ్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్, క్లోజ్ యువర్ ఐస్, దెన్ టేక్ ఎ డీప్ బ్రెత్ అండ్ దెన్ think deep in your mind and try to find out what is the atma or who am I, all those questions. That also will not work because atma is not available for the mind and intellect also as an instrument, because atma is tarka atitaha, as was said in Kathopanishad, naisha tarkena matirapaneya iti uktatva. So meditation, logical analysis, perceptual operation, experimentation, all will not work because we don't have any means to analyze the Atma. So the question is, kena Atma shrotavyaha? Answer is, Vedanta shabda pramanena Atma shrotavyaha. Self-enquiry is possible only through Vedantic enquiry. Upanishadik vicharaha. So shabda pramana vicharaha. So setting aside the Vedanta Pramanam, one can never make self-inquiry. Therefore, Atma Shrotavyaha means Vedanta Shrotavyaham. Atma is Shravana. Atma Shravana means Vedanta Shravana. Therefore, the more we analyze Vedanta Vakyas, every word, every sentence, we analyze Atma Swarupam, our nature alone. So we should never think Vedantic analysis is a mere intellectual exercise. Are just an intellectual trip. Therefore, thorough understanding of Vedanta is equal to thorough understanding of myself. So Vedantic inquiry is not extrovert pursuit, seemingly extrovert pursuit it is, but factually it is nothing but self-inquiry. It is like looking into a mirror. As I look into a mirror, it looks as though I am extrovert, looking outwards. But the fact is, more I look into the mirror, more I am able to understand myself. What I see is inside the mirror. I see the clear picture of myself. And when the picture is not clear, I may rub the dust off. And more I clean the mirror, it is not a waste of time, since clearer the mirror, clearer is my understanding. Therefore, when I analyze every word in Vedanta, go to its Sanskrit root, analyze grammatical significance, all language and word analysis, all of them, it is like cleaning the mirror. It may be Tarka Shastra, it can be Mimamsa Shastra, it can be Vyakarana, it may look like waste of time, but they are all to clean the mirror of Vedanta. And clearer the words and sentences, clearer is my understanding about myself. Therefore, Shravanam is very important. And Atma Shravanam is Vedanta Shravanam. Therefore, Atma Va Are Shrotavyaha. Vedanta Dwara Atma Shrotavyaha or Vedanta Shrotavyaha. And what is the benefit of Vedanta Shravanam? Ajnana Nivrittihi or freedom from Ajnanam, ignorance. Ajnanam about what? Ajnanam about oneself. What Ajnanam I have now? I thought I am Dukkha Rupaha, requiring Ananda to come from outside source. And it is on this premise I lead my entire life. I led until now to gain Atma Jnanam. That's what I thought. I was ever under the thought, I need a situation, I need people, I need objects for gaining Ananda. Every activity is based on this fundamental premise and often unquestioned and taken for granted notions. Even for one day, if people are not there, I feel I am a dukhi. I become restless. Even with temporary absence of people, temporary absence of spouse or children or anybody, I still feel I am lonely. I need people for me to gain happiness. This notion is called ajnanam or adhyasa. So adhyasa ignam is equal to ajnanasya nivrittihi alone makes me ananda rupaha. I don't require things, I don't require people, situations to be happy. I require things, people, objects to live. That is true. But I don't need them to be happy. This is the difference. Think, but to be happy, full, complete, I require nothing. Therefore, let them be there or not, I am happy. That is my nature. Thus, ajnana nivrittihi, that is atmani adhyastha dukkha nivrittihi, which is called paramananda praptihi. So this is shravana sadhana. And next is manan, defined as yuktitaha chintanam, corroborating, logically affirming, substantiating. What is learnt through shravanam is mananam, the Upanishadic teaching. So the benefit of this logical analysis is what? Samshayam nivrittihi, removal of all doubts which are obstacles to the assimilation or acceptance of self-knowledge. Basic teaching is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaivanaparaha. That is the basic teaching. The statement Brahma Satyam, everyone agrees. There is no problem at all. All philosophers, Dvaitin, Visishta Dvaitin, or Dvaita Dvaitins, we already saw that Veda Vedavadis in the last class, they all agree. Nobody questions this statement, Brahma Satyam. But problem is the second part, Jagan Mithya. The world is not Satyam, world is Mithya. When we receive this teaching from the Upanishad, the intellect puts lot of questions. How can the world be unreal? I am seeing world, is solidly available for perception, inference, transaction, and it can affect my life positively or negatively. Called Artha Kriyakari. It has its own utility and value. It can give me sukham, dukham. Even Advaitin eats food when hungry. When food is capable of removing hunger, how can one say food is unreal? Medicine is unreal when it cures disease. Doctor is unreal when he stands in front of me to cure me. Therefore, the statement of Jagan Mithya enshrouds us with doubts as to its reliability. Even if it is accepted, the third part, namely Jivo Brahmaivanaparaha, is not at all acceptable to us. I am Brahman, I am Ananda Rupaha, Nityaha, eternal, all pervading, all those. One may say Advaitam is nice to hear, academically interesting, but in practical life, one has to resort to God to save us. Therefore, it is very difficult to accept that I am Brahman, because to accept it as a fact, that means to accept it all the times, many lingering questions arise against it. How can I be infinite? The questions are doubts at the level of intellect. Intellect is a big obstacle for assimilating Vedanta as a fact. And therefore, mananam is aimed at the removal of all the obstacles at the intellectual and emotional level. Or samshaya nivrittihi. So that I can accept the statement, aham Brahma asmi, as a fact during the class also, and say this at all times. I should have the courage to say, even when I am in my deathbed, or many afflictions torment me, even when there is crisis all around, I should be able to say that. So this is the benefit of mananam. Removing intellectual obstacles in the form of doubt is called nididhyasana. And nididhyasana is nirvichikitse, or nishamshaye arte manasaha sthapanam, dwelling upon the teachings, which is free from all doubts. That is called nididhyasana. After mananam, the knowledge is doubtless knowledge. If I have doubts, what I should do? Do mananam again. The shravana mananabhyam nishamshayaha arthaham. So teaching is doubtless, and upon the doubtless teaching, keeping the mind quietly, regularly spending time just to dwell upon the doubtless teaching. In nididhyasana, no logical analysis is involved, no reasoning. Reasoning means it will go back to mananam again. It is not the posture, not the condition of sense organs that determines it, but the process that happens in the mind that determines the nididhyasana. No reasoning is involved, because I am convinced of the fact that I am, and I ever will be Brahman. I was, I am, and I ever will be free. Therefore, when you sit for nididhyasana, moksha expectation is gone, because my clear understanding is that what? I was free, I am free, I ever will be free. Therefore, I don't expect moksha, a new experience or new knowledge, because moksha is not going to come through a new experience or an event or a situation. It is my very nature, unconditional. Therefore, nididhyasana means not with any expectation of moksha, not for removing doubts, not for logical analysis also, but to dwell upon the teaching. For what purpose? To remove the viparita bhavana, nivrityartham. Removal of all habitual mental problems. What are those? Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, bhayam, all of them. Thus, I dwell upon the teachings with the specific aim of removing the mental, emotional obstacles which have been lingering for a long time. Certain types of fears are there deep in my mind. Certain types of hatred, hurts, they are all there which have been gathered for a long time. From spouse, from children, from friends, from so many people. I have got so many shocks creating hurt. As long as mental hurt is there, mind does not have relative ananda. Unless mind enjoys relative ananda, I cannot own up absolute ananda. Unless the mind is relatively shantam, I cannot own up absolute shanti. Thus, nididhyasana is to convert the knowledge into emotional strength, or eliminating the habitual emotional problems. Even worry, guilt, hurt, anxiety, fear, they are all. So nididhyasana is not a process done at a particular time, but a constant alertness watching our emotional personality. Throughout the day, what all ups and downs I should see and count, how often I got annoyed, I got angry, I got reactive, and then neutralize them in the light of this teaching. Thus, nididhyasanam is for the viparita bhavana nivrittihi. Difference between mananam and nididhyasanam is mananam removes intellectual obstacles and nididhyasanam removes emotional or mental obstacles. Shravanam removes ajnanam and gives knowledge. Shankaracharya points out that all the three processes are equally important. We cannot have questions like which can be skipped, whether can I skip mananam or nididhyasanam or shravanam. No, all three are to be followed to get full benefit. He says, natu shravana matrena shravana manana nididhyasanaihi drashtavyaha. That is how he comments on this particular sentence. But even though we say all three sadhanas are important, there is a lot of confusion among the roles of each sadhana. All people agree shravana mananam nididhyasanam are needed, but there is a confusion regarding the role played by each of these sadhanas. Since it is a prevalent confusion, we will spend some time to understand that also. There is one group who say that shravanam gives only paroksha jnanam. Paroksha jnanam means indirect knowledge. And they say only when nididhyasanam is done, knowledge becomes aparoksha jnanam, direct knowledge. Thus, meditation alone gives us direct, experimental, and first-hand knowledge. They give example of day-to-day experiences also. For example, when one describes as an apple, you get only a secondary knowledge of apple. He describes the form of apple, color of apple, taste of apple, smell of apple. Thus, the words regarding apple give only indirect second-hand knowledge. But only when you actually eat the apple, you get first-hand, direct, experiential knowledge. And just extending the same example, they argue, Vedanta Shravanam gives second-hand, secondary, indirect knowledge, or book knowledge, or intellectual knowledge. And they argue, only nididhyasanam brings Atma face-to-face. One will get direct face-to-face, first-hand, experiential knowledge, or they call it sakshatkaraha, realization. They use two words, knowledge and realization. సో శ్రవణం ఫార్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ నిధిధ్యాసనం ఫార్ రియలైజేషన్ ప్లీనరీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దే కాలేజ్ సో సచ్ వర్డ్స్ ఆర్ యూస్డ్ ఇన్ సమ్ టెక్స్ట్ బుక్స్ అవర్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ ఈస్ దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ట్రూ వి సే శ్రవణం ఆర్ వర్డ్స్ క్యాన్ గివ్ డైరెక్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆల్సో శ్రవణం క్యాన్ గివ్ డైరెక్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ శ్రవణం అలోన్ షుడ్ గివ్ డైరెక్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ దిస్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ శబ్ద అపరోక్ష వాద శ్రవణం ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ గివ్స్ అపరోక్ష జ్ఞానం అపరోక్ష జ్ఞానం ఇస్ డైరెక్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ వన్ డస్ నాట్ గెట్ అపరోక్ష జ్ఞానం త్రూ శ్రవణం హీ విల్ నెవర్ గెట్ అపరోక్ష జ్ఞానం త్రూ మననం ఆర్ నిధిధ్యాసనం అండ్ వీ సే వీ క్యాన్ ఆల్సో ప్రూవ్ దిస్ బై కోటింగ్ అనదర్ డే టు డే ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ లైక్ దెమ్ వి గివ్ టూ ఎగ్జాంపుల్స్ వన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ సోయం దేవదత్త అండ్ అనదర్ ఇస్ దశమః త్వం అసి దీస్ ఆర్ ద టూ ఎగ్జాంపుల్స్ సో సోయం దేవదత్త ది ఫస్ట్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇస్ one man was looking for a person called Devadatta and he had seen him 25 years before let us say and same Devadatta has come now with totally different features of course we can understand that gray hair bald head thin with wrinkles and all that and therefore keeping Devadatta in front this person was searching for Devadatta as he was searching for Devadatta someone came and told so I am Devadatta this person in front of you that Devadatta whom you are searching for is this Devadatta who is standing in front of you when the words are used does he get indirect or direct knowledge of Devadatta he gets direct knowledge so words give indirect knowledge when object is far away and direct knowledge when they used to introduce an evident thing which is very close by what is the evident thing Devadatta is already evident He is standing in front of me. And words of introduction will not give indirect knowledge, but will give direct knowledge. We all know the Dashamaha Tumasi, the tenth man count, in the count, tenth man. That is the second example. So Vedanta is words of introduction, introducing me to self, myself. Therefore, we say Aparoksha Jnanam is only through Shravanam. Then what is the role of Mananam and Nididhyasanam? Mananam is not for direct knowledge, but to remove the obstacles. Nididhyasanam is also not for direct knowledge, but to remove obstacles. Pratibandha nivrityartham. Manana nididhyasane. So having established that Atma is Paramananda Swarupam, the Upanishad points out how to get Paramananda Atma or Moksha. For that, it prescribes a sadhana. Atma va are drashtavyaha. Drashtavya darshanam iti sadhanam ananda prapti. That's what Upanishad says. Well, ananda prapti is the end. Atma darshanam, that is jnanam, knowledge, is the means. Here comes the next question. How can one gain atma jnanam? What is our end? Atma jnanam is our end. And atma prapti is what? Is supposed to be the end. And it's a goal. And for achieving the end, atma jnanam is prescribed as a means. To get Atma Prapti, Atma Jnanam is prescribed as the means. When Atma Jnanam itself is the end, after doing all this Ravanam Nidhyasanam, what should be the means then? That's the question. So, Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha, Nididhyasitavyaha. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam will lead to Atma Darshanam and Darshanam will lead to Paramananda Prapti. Thus, Parasparam, Sadhya, Sadhana, Sambandha, Vartate. So here also there is a small discussion because there is an expression drashtavyaha shrotavyaha mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha so that tavyaha comes as a suffix to every word that was all the four words that we just saw so according to Sanskrit grammar tavya represents a commandment so kartavyam is commandment of action boktavyam for bhojanam Kartavya means you are compelled to do a thing. So per grammar, actually this is called potential mode, ling and all the imperative mode, lot, all that. But tavya is called potential participle. And all the three indicate commandments. In Sanskrit, we call it vidhi. So the commandment or vidhi is very important in Mimamsa Shastra. They have analyzed it elaborately. In keeping with that, in Vedanta also, what we do, we make an analysis of vidhi pratyaya involved in Vedanta too. That is suffix of commandment. we, in fact, we have a suffix of commandment in the previous portion that we did in the previous class, in Vidya Sutram section, if you remember. What was that? Atma ityevam upasita. That mantra 1.4.7 in Vidya Sutra. We saw Avidya Sutram also. That is Anyosau, Anyoham, Asmiti, Yaha, Anyam, Devatanam upaste, Na Saha Vedam, Saha Devanam Pashuho. We already saw that also. He becomes a Pashu of all the Devatas. So mantra 1.4.10. So in Vidya Sutram, I hope you remember these topics. In Vidya Sutram, the statement is what? Atma iti eva upasita. There is also a suffix to indicate the commandment, upasita, datta, at the end. Here also, tavya is the suffix for commandment. Here, drashtavyaha, shrotavyaha. So Shankaracharya analyzes the vidhi in the Vidya Sutra Bhashyam, but we skipped it at that time. So I will take the opportunity to do it here. Analysis is vidhi pratyaya. So for the sake of analysis, we will divide this statement into two topics. That is atmava are drashtavyaha is one, and atmava are shrotavyaha mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha is another. Two topics. So when you say atmava are drashtavyaha, what is the meaning? Atmava are aparokshataya jnatavyaha. Atma should be known as myself aparokshataya directly. And in this context, we should note, wherever there is a commandment of knowledge in Vedanta, we assume that it is not a commandment, but only a statement when it comes to knowledge. Because according to Vedanta, no commandment is possible with respect to jnanam. Jnane vidihi na sambhavati. Commandments are possible only with respect to karma. And when we make such a statement, we take one thing for granted. What is that? The commandment is possible with respect to karma or action and never possible with respect to jnana, knowledge. So we take one thing for granted, that knowledge and action are two different processes. Action is not karma, and karma is not action. Action is not knowledge, and knowledge is not a karma. Therefore, in Vedanta, knowing is not considered an action at all. Now the question is, why knowledge is not an action? Further, we give two reasons. Number one, the palams, the consequences, benefits, prayojanam are different. Karma palam is different from jnana palam. Therefore, pala bedat, ketu bedaha, satya bedat, sadhana bedaha, or yen bedat means bedaha. Then in what way do you say karma palam and jnana palam are different? Again, according to Vedanta, we say karma can produce four types of palams. We have already seen this earlier, but I am only saying it again. We have seen this before. It will be to just to refresh. So what are the four palams? Reaching a place, producing a thing, modifying a thing, or purifying a thing. These are the four things. So reaching, production, modification, purification are the four types of karma phala. And when you analyze the knowledge, we find knowledge does not produce any of the four results. For example, if you say knowing London is not reaching London. Hence, jnanam does not take or reaches anywhere. And knowledge does not produce anything also. Knowing, for example, knowing Italy does not produce Italy. Knowledge does not modify anything also. Knowing, for example, salt is not there, adequate in sambar will not help. You have to add salt, you have to modify it. And knowledge also cannot purify, karma also cannot purify this. Knowledge cannot purify also. This place is not clean. That knowledge is available to me, but that knowledge will not make this place clean. So what is jnana palam now? It just reveals a thing as is. It is only vastu spuranam. Vastu prakashaha, vastu avarana nivritti. You will find that this revelation, which is jnana phalam, karma can never produce. We have to see both. Jnanam will not give karma phalam, and karma will not give jnana phalam also. Suppose you don't know what this is. Let us say, for example, I show something, for example, a cup like this. You know, I'm showing a cup like this. If you don't know what it is, you do varieties of actions over this cup. Whatever karmas you do, you will not know what it is. Karma cannot produce jnana palam, and jnanam cannot produce karma palam. therefore jnanam and karma are different. For what reason? Phala bheda. And this will be discussed actually in the fourth sutra of Brahma Sutra. When we come to Brahma Sutra, we'll have opportunity to see at that time. The fourth sutra is tattu samanvayat. That means nanu jnanam namam manasi kriya acharya writes like that, elaborates actually in very great detail at that time. We'll see. So this is the difference between jnanam and karma, phala bhedat. That's reason two. So jnanam is not available for choice, where karma is. So in other words, jnanam is not under the control of jnata. Jnanam jnatru tantram na bhavati. Whereas karma is under the control of karta. How? Suppose we want to know the meaning of Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, for example. Further, what do? You attend the class. When you are coming to the class, are you a karta or jnata? You are only a karta, which means you have a choice to come to the class or not. Then you also choose a particular place, where to sit, from which place, whether I use your phone or here in the computer. You have all those choices. Mine may be here or elsewhere. There is another choice also. So all of them are karma only. And once your mind has come behind your ears, you put your mind in the hearing, you become a jnata. Do you have a choice in hearing at that time? Whether to hear or what to hear, you have no choice. Once you become a seer, hearer, knower, you have no choice. Therefore, karma, kartru tantram, and jnana, na jnatru tantram. It is not. Therefore, both are different. That is number two. So, phala vedatim, tantra vedascha. Vedascha, they are both are different. So satantram or paratantram, choice we can say. And once we have understood the difference, we can easily arrive at its corollary also. Commandment is possible only when there is choice. In fact, applying this rule alone, we are establishing free will for an individual. If scripture commands us to do good and to avoid evil, because scriptures accept we have free will or choice to tell or avoid, for example, telling a lie. Similarly, to harm or not to harm a person. Since I have the choice, scripture gives me commandments not to do this. Suppose there is no free will at all and there is no choice. We are helplessly good and bad. Then the scripture's commandments will be useful or useless. If a man does good choicelessly, there is no need to command him to do good. If an evil man does evil choicelessly, commandment not to do evil is also a waste. Therefore, rule is what? Commandments come only in choiceful situation, when there is a choice. In karma and karma kanda, there is choice. That is, commandment is possible. Satyam vada, dharmam chara, they are all commandments. Whereas in the case of jnanam, no choice, and therefore no commandment is possible. So atma va are drashtavyaha is only a seeming commandment. Vidhi chaya alone, like the shadow of a vidhi. It is not vidhi itself. This is the first part of the discussion in this atma drashtavyaha. So we are going to see the second part next. So atma va are drashtavyaha means what? Atma va are jnatavyaha. Jnatavyaha means it is not a commandment. Atma va darshanarhaha. And now if you go to the second portion, atma vam are shrotavyaha mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha. Then you take the second part. Follow shravanam mananam nididhyasam. That's what it says. And with respect to this also, there is a vidhi. And what we say is, with respect to shravanam mananam nididhyasanam, if we accept vidhi, with respect to darshanam, there is no vidhi. But with respect to this, there is a commandment. Now, in Mimamsa Shastra, vidhi or commandment itself is subdivided into three types. Whatever I'm saying, many of them are all now academic actually. So, to understand this shloka. Naturally, we accept vidhi, then question is, which type of vidhi? There are three types I just now said. So, we will see briefly that also. First, let us see what are the three vidhis or the commandments as given in the Mimamsa Shastra. One is called Apurva Vidhi. Apurva Vidhi is a vidhi or statement of injunction. It's a commandment. And second one is called Niyama Vidhi. It is a statement of restriction, Niyama. And third one is called Parisankhya Vidhi, a statement of permission. Each one we will briefly say and then discuss an example. For example, for Apurva Vidhi, number one, the standard example given is in Purva Mimamsa is what? In Purva Mimamsa is Vrihim Prokshati. That is a statement, Vrihim Prokshati. Vrihi means rice grains or paddy. The context of the example is in the Purva Mimamsa Shastram, they discuss varieties of rituals. One ritual is the Darsha Purnamasa Yajna. There is a Darsha Purnamasa Yajna is an Yajna, it's a Yaga performed Amavasya Purnami, those kinds of Yagas. So in that Yajna, they give an oblation called Purodasaha. Purodasaha is like, we can think of it like a pancake. We can, in Tamil, we call it adai. So it's like a pancake. So the ritualist, the yajaman, the person, the yaji, the whomsoever does the yajna, he has to bring the paddy from the field himself. At that time, the Veda tells, but it gives an instruction to him. First, you have to do prokshanam of the paddy. You have to sprinkle water, chanting certain mantras on the paddy that you brought from the field. If Veda does not make this commandment, nobody would do prokshanam. He'll sprinkle water on that paddy because they'll just bring it. So prokshanam is totally an unknown action Veda is prescribing. And so prescription of totally unknown action is called Apurva Vidhi. After the prokshanam, what the ritualist will do? He has to remove the husk. Now the removal of the husk is a known action or unknown action. Everybody knows you have to remove the husk if you have to eat the rice. So to make pancake. So anyone with common sense knows this. And the problem here is, even though unhusking is a known action, this can be done in several ways. But the Shastra says all this, I'm not saying anything. So for example, pounding, this is called avahanana. That is one method. You pound the grain, the paddy, to remove the husk. That is one. And the second one is ashmakuttana. So this is another one. So rub it with rice or have a stone and go on, you know, rubbing it and all that to remove the husk also. And third one is called Nakam Vidalana. So remove the husk using with your nails. You can do it forever. All these three processes are available. So one action of unhusking itself done in several ways and all ways are known. And now comes the second type of vidhi, Niyama Vidhi. What is the example given here? Vrihin Avahanti. Avahanti means the pounding process. First type is Vrihin Prokshati. There is no choice, it's just unknown, it's just approach. Second type is Vrihin Avahanti. The paddy should be unhusked by the method of pounding and not by any other method, only by pounding only it says. Therefore, what is the Niyama Vidhi here? A statement of restriction among many known methods. So pounding is one, kuttanam is another one, and from the using the nail, removing is third one. But the Shastra clearly says you should do only Vrihin Avahanti, it should be unhusked by the method of pounding only. So first is the statement of injunction of a totally unknown action, namely prokshana. Second is a statement of restriction where there are many methods of known action, and in the statement of restriction itself, there is an implied idea also that the other methods are to be avoided or excluded. Exclusion is implied even though it is not said openly. And one particular process is stressed. This is called Niyama Vidhi. What is the one particular process? Is only to the Avahanti, pounded. And the last Vidhi is Parisankhya Vidhi. It's a statement of permission. For example, today is Ekadashi. So it says, Ekadashyam Palaharam Kuryat. Pala means fruits. So it's a statement of permission. Among many methods of removing the hunger, what one should do? Eating fruits. Here, it is a statement of permission. That means it is not compulsory that one should eat fruits. If you can do total fasting, very well and good. If you are to take food for any reason, diabetic, whatever reason, or one reason or other, you take phalahara, take fruits. You may eat fruit. Not you should eat fruit, but it's a statement of permission. And in this statement of permission also, automatically included is what? Exclusion of other types of food. So called Parisankhya Vidhi, statement of permission. often a statement of permission and statement of restriction look very similar. Now, Niyama Vidhi, statement of restriction. Parishankhya Vidhi, it got statement of permission. They have got only a slight difference. Therefore, it may be confusing. Since there are many common and few uncommon features among them, let us first see the common features of Niyama Vidhi and Parishankhya Vidhi. Many actions are involved in both. Unlike Apurva Vidhi, where there is only one action, right? Prokshan, that is the first one. Now, the second common feature in them is what? That all actions involved in both the Vidhis are known actions. Which one will know? Which a person will know even without Vedas. He knows how to unhusk. So all are known actions. And the third common feature is choice of one action is involved among many known actions. And the fourth common feature is in both exclusion of other actions is involved. For example, when pounding is chosen, ashmakuttanam, that is rubbing with the stone, and also nakavidalanam, using the nails to remove, they both are excluded. So if one is chosen, it implies automatically the exclusion of others. So in all the four features, Niyama Vidhi and Parishankhya Vidhi are identical. That is, the statement of restriction and statement of permission are identical in all the four features just we listed. Then what is the difference if you ask? The main difference is in Niyama Vidhi, the restricted or chosen action is compulsory. Vrihi avahananam eva kuryat. Only pounding alone should be done. Whereas in Parishankhya Vidhi, the permitted action is not compulsory. Whereas the exclusion of others is compulsory. On Ekadasi day, phala aharam kuryat. That is, Parishankhya Vidhi means what? On Ekadasi, if you want to eat something, you cannot fast or whatever reason, you can eat something, means eat only fruits. That is permitted. You may take phalam. Or still better, you can avoid that also, which is ideal on Ekadasi. Ekadashyam tum sarvesham kartavyam bhojana dvayam. You should take meals twice only. That's what it says. There is such a thing. What is that? Shuddha upavasa and satkata shravanancha. Shuddha upavasa, total fasting on Ekadasi day. This is the ideal upavasa on Ekadasi day. But if you are not able to, phala aharam is permitted. But you are not commanded to take the permitted action. And that action is non-compulsory in Parishankhya Vidhi. But restricted action is compulsory in Niyama Vidhi. Whereas in Parishankhya Vidhi also, the exclusion of others is compulsory. Avoidance of other types of food. Exclusion of phala itara aharam. That is a must. Therefore, in Parishankhya Vidhi, exclusion being compulsory, so it is exclusion or Varjana Pradhana Vidhi, exclusion Vidhi. The exclusion is more important in Parishankhya Vidhi. And therefore, Parishankhya Vidhi is literally translated, it means statement of exclusion. Parishankhya is equal to Parivarjana. Therefore, what was our four translations of Parishankhya now? First translation of Parishankhya, a statement of permission. But the refined and proper translation of Parishankhya Vidhi is a statement of exclusion. So for the statement of exclusion of Parishankhya Vidhi, the best example is Satyam Vada. It's a statement. On an analysis, will it be Niyama Vidhi or Parishankhya Vidhi? If Satyam Vada is a statement. If you analyze it, whether it will be a Niyama Vidhi or Parishankhya Vidhi. To speak Satyam is not compulsory. There is no compulsion that you should speak every truth that you know. Since he cannot conduct vyavaharas at all, if he has to be speaking only truth all the time. So when we say satyam bruyat, that means you may speak or don't speak at all. You may speak or don't speak at all. You may also keep quiet. What is compulsory is never speak untruth. That is compulsory. Exclusion is compulsory. Never speak untruth. If you want to speak, what is permitted? Speaking truth alone is permitted. Otherwise, you can keep mum. And what is not permitted is speaking anything other than truth is to be excluded. That is why Acharya says, Satyam is anruta varjanam. That is how he writes in his commentary. Satyam means anruta varjanam. Rutam and Satyam are truth only. There is a slight difference. Therefore, we have three vidhis now. Apurva Vidhi, statement of injunction. Niyama Vidhi, statement of restriction. And Parishankhya Vidhi, statement of permission or exclusion. Now, what is our topic? all these things are all fine. Now we have to come back, connect it to our vakyam. Atmava are shrotavyaha mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha will come under which vidhi? That is the question. So commentators, they refer to this briefly as shravana vidhi. This entire thing is called shravana vidhi of atmava are shrotavyaha mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha. The entire thing can be called shravana vidhi. So shravana vidhi is the shortened name of the entire thing. And now it belongs to which of the three vidhis that we just now mentioned. Shankaracharya, he established it in a similar context. It is niyama vidhi, not directly here, a statement of restriction. And what does this convey? A Vedantic seeker can spend his lifetime in many pursuits. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says he should restrict his pursuit only to Vedanta, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. He should spend his time only in one pursuit if he is a mumukshu. If his aim is to realize Atma Vare Drashtavyaha, if Atma Darshanam is his aim, then he should restrict his pursuit, life pursuit, to only one. Asuptehe, Amrtehe, Amrtehe Kalam Nayet Vedanta Chintaya. So Vedanta, Vedanta, Vedanta all the time. Tat Chintanam, Tat Katanam, Anyonyam Tat Prabodhanam, Machitta, Madgata Pranaham, Bodhayantaham, Parasparam. All those statements. So if he finds that this is not possible, he may take to sannyasa. It doesn't matter. Sannyasa is worthwhile if it helps him to commit to shravanam, mananam, nididhyasana. If he is able to commit himself in grihastha ashrama itself, well and good. It is not the ashrama which is important, but committed pursuit of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam is important for any seeker to gain atmajnana. And niyama vidhi, there is only one significance. It is a statement of restriction. Suppose one naturally follows shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam by himself, then niyama vidhi will remain silent. It won't give any niyamas. Just as in unhusking the paddy, it won't. Suppose he himself likes pounding the paddy, for example, ignoring the other two, he likes only to pound. He himself likes. Or crushing and removing by nail with nails and all. He doesn't like any of them. He likes only pounding. Then niyama vidhi will not say anything because his natural inclination itself is according to the niyama. Similarly, suppose a person becomes a sannyasi and goes to a teacher and studies Vedanta. He became a sannyasi, he goes to a teacher to learn Vedanta. Then shravana, manana, nididhyasana, niyama will be silent. It won't say anything to him because he is already under a guru. Suppose a person becomes a sannyasi and does all other jobs other than shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and then niyama vidhi will warn him to obey the vidhi, which in his case is shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Suppose a sannyasi naturally takes up to guru upasadhanam, he goes to a guru, follows shravanam, mananam, and all that thing, niyama vidhi will be silent. Therefore, niyama vidhi is a statement of restrictions. If a person follows shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, what is the palam then? Atma darshanam is the palam. And if atma darshanam takes place, what is the palam? Atma praptihi is palam. So if atma praptihi takes place, what is the palam? We have seen that atma is paramananda rupaha, and therefore the palam is paramananda praptihi. So atma darshanam, atma prapti, paramananda prapti, that is moksha. Therefore, Yajnavalkya tells Maitreyi, we should now connect to the Maitreyi path, Yajnavalkya Maitreyi discussion. Atmava are drashtavyaha tadartam atmava shrotavyaha atmava mantavyaha atmava nididhyasitavyaha Maitreyi. Having explained the name of vidhim, now Yajnavalkya gives the phala. But he says, atmanahava are darshanena shravanena matya vijnanena idam sarvam viditam bhavati. That is the palashruti vakya. In fact, these words can be put in different order actually. Atmanaham, shravanena, matya, vijnanena, darshanena. Chronological order is shravanena is shravanam, matya means mananam, vijnanena is nididhyasanam. So the shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam resulting in darshanena. So darshana is put at the end. Can be put in that. So by following shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and thus by knowing aham brahmasmi, idam sarvam viditam bhavati. So now we should remember all those words that we have learned earlier. Eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam bhavati, yajnatva neya bhuyam yati, jnatavyam avasishyate, kasminu bhagavaha vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. All those various statements of Gita and also the Mundaka Upanishad, all that we can remember. All say the same thing. So sarvajnatvam is the palam of atma jnanam. So by pointing out that atma jnanena sarva jnanam, Yajnavalkya implies an important idea here. He is going to elaborate it later. And what is the implied idea? We will just only explain briefly. Atma jnanam is equal to sarva jnanam. So if in this equation, jnanam is equal in both sides. Suppose if I say 8x equal to 8y, what do we mean? 8 being equal on either side, x equal to y. Similarly, atma jnanam equal to sarva jnanam means atma eva idam sarvam. Atma is equal to sarva. Atma alone is everything. Sarvam atmamayam jagat. Atma vetriktam kinchit nasti. Mattaha parataram nanyat. Brahmai vedam vishwamidam varishtam. Sarvam kalu idam brahma. All these statements we should remember when we say atma is sarvam. Therefore, what Yajnavalkya implies is that atma alone is everything and there is no such thing as anatma. There is no such thing as anatma. Everything is atma only. Now, these things are going to be elaborated in the following mantras that we will read. 2.4.6 Brahmatam paradhat yonyatra atmanaha brahma vedam kshatram tam paradhat yonyatra atmanaha kshatram vedam lokastam paraduhu yonyatra atmanaha lokan vedam devastam paraduhu yonyatra atmanaha devan vedam bhutanitam paraduhu yonyatra atmanaha bhutani vedam sarvam tam paradat yonyatra atmanaha sarvam vedam idam brahmam idam kshatram ime lokaha ime devaha imani bhutani idam sarvam yadayam atma. Another great mahavakyam, idam sarvam yadayam atma. Very important mantra to establish advaita. Therefore acharya quotes this mantra very often. Advaita sthapana mantrani, these are all, which dismisses dvaitam, visishta advaitam, all those other dashanas, showing that advaitam is not Shankara's philosophy. There is a wrong perception as if advaita is Shankara's philosophy. No, there is nothing like Shankara's philosophy as such. It is all given in the Upanishads, teaching of the Upanishads only. So these mantras are explanation of shravanam, mananam, vididhyasanam, and this mantra corresponds to shravanam. And the later mantras correspond to mananam. There are more mantras for mananam and shravanam only this mantra. And the essence of this mantra is atma alone is sarvam, atmaiva idam sarvam. So sarvatma bhavaha. And by that, what does Yajnavalkya imply? Since atma is sarvam, atma jnanam is sarva jnanam. Tying with the last vakya of the previous mantra, yasmat atma eva sarvam bhavati, tasmat atma vijnanena sarva vijnanam bhavati. Therefore, essence of this mantra is atma alone is everything. So, if to emphasize this essential teaching, in the beginning, to glorify atma, Shruti condemns all people who see anything other than atma. These places, Upanishad is very categorical. What is the right vision? There is nothing other than Atma or the Self. That is the right vision. And what is the wrong vision? There is something other than Atma. That is the wrong vision. So Atma, Anya Darshanam becomes Asamyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam means right decision, the vision. Asamyak Darshanam. So Atma Aikya Darshanam will become Samyak Darshanam, correct vision. Therefore, the first part of the mantra is condemnation of those people who see things other than Atma. Atma means self or myself. To say that there is something other than me, capital M, me, is a great error and that is to be condemned with all severity. That's what Upanishad implies. So Shruti gives the reason also as to why it should be condemned. What is wrong if we accept things other than ourselves or Dvaitam or Vedam? What is wrong in accepting them? Of course, we can easily see the problem in Veda Darshanam, Veda Buddhi, but Upanishad is unique. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is unique in many things. It puts the same idea in a different form. Until now, we explained this in so many other places. In Taittiriya Upanishad, we have seen this. Udaram antaram kurute atatasya bhayam bhavati. Or we have also seen dvaitaddi bhayam bhavati. Mrityosam mrityumapunoti yaiha navevam pashyati. Naneva pashyati. We have seen all these things already. So these are all normal explanations. If you see anything other than you, then you will be limited by others. If I see anything other than me, then I am going to be limited by all others. You will be limited by time. You will be limited by space, which means you will become mortal. Mortality is a problem. Then samyoga viyoga. Samyoga means union. Viyoga is separation. So union, separation, etc. will become a problem if you see you are different from others. There are some who are very dear. Even a thought of separation will cause dukkham to me. This samyoga, viyoga, mortality cannot be avoided in Veda Darshanam. Seeing things different. Instead of putting it in a straight form, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad puts it in its own unique form. But it says, when you see something other than you, by separating it from yourself, what do? You indirectly reject them. Any division is separation. Any separation is rejection. Because remember, once you separate it, it becomes anatma. Once you separate it, it becomes anatma. And we know from above, everyone truly loves only atma. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati, we have already seen. So such bheda buddhi is called rejection. That is why when you want to show that you have not rejected someone, what do? Commonly, you hug them, you embrace them, shows abhedam. Embracing means you are me, I am you. Therefore, Veda Buddhav Jagat rejection bhavati, Jagataka tyagaha bhavati, apriyatvam bhavati. Further, when you rejected a thing separate from you, Upanishad says, world also in turn will reject you. By causing the distance, world also rejects me, separates me, isolates me. Thus, you develop a sense of isolation, sense of rejection, being left out, the fear. In fact, many evil traits, strong traits anybody may have, they don't tell others because of what? One is mortally afraid of someone rejecting them. And rejection is the most painful thing in life. Upanishad says, when world is anatma for me, I will be anatma for the world. When you all become anatma for me, I will become anatma for you. You ever love atma and not anatma. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. That means as long as you are separate from me, you can never love me truly. And I will love myself and not you. You will love yourself and not me. So what is our pet desire? Everybody wants what? Everybody should love me. That's what everybody wants. But I will not love anyone but myself. It is like there is a saying, your money is my money and my money is also my money. I love myself most and I keep everyone anatma. I want my father to love me more than himself. I want my spouse to love me more than spouse self, herself or himself. We don't know, so spouse self. So remember, once division comes, you lose love from the world. You miss love from the world and you are rejected by the world. Therefore, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Parada, the rejected. Brahmana rejects me, Brahmana jati. They reject me because I have rejected Brahmanas. Kshatriya rejects me because I have rejected Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. They reject me because I have rejected all of them. This is all said in the mantras. So we have rejected everything because we see them different from us. Therefore, we cannot love. This is our fate. Remember, when we become old and sick, other people pray for what? We can easily guess. Not for our survival, but for our death. But they will put it in a nice language. All are false, fake love only. I cannot look after him for long. That is the reason. How to say this? So they love us as long as things are comfortable. Otherwise, they want us to die only. This is the world where there is dvaitam. And therefore, Upanishad says, lokastham, lokastham paradho. All the lokas will reject him if he looks upon the lokas as different from himself. All the 14 lokas are included here. Then, devastham paradho. Yaha anyatra atmanaha devan veda. Even devas will reject one who looks upon devas again as different from them. Then bhutanitam paradhu yaha anyatra atmanaha bhutani veda. All other beings, all other jatis, animals, plants, they will all reject me. All will look upon myself as anatma. And if he looks upon them as different from himself, all beings will reject him if he looks upon them as anatma and different from him. Then the Upanishad feels, why go on enumerating everything one by one? Then there is no limit for this. And so it sums up all and says, sarvam tam paradhate yaham anyatra atmanaha sarvam veda. Everything in creation will reject. And if one looks upon itself as different from oneself. Advaita teaching is very clear. Hasta amalakavata. That means it is like having a gooseberry, we call it nillika in Tamil, I don't know whatever we call it. So on the hand. So now Yajnavalkya gives the factual statement. What is the fact? Sarvam Atma Eva. Everything is Atma. Brahmanas also non-different from Atma. Kshatriyas non-different from Atma. Lokas, Devas, Bhutani, Sarvam non-different from Atma. Therefore, Sarvam Atma. This understanding is called Shravana. Therefore, Upanishad says, Idam Brahma. This Brahmana Jati. Here, Brahma means Brahmana Jati, not Brahma Veda or Brahma. Idam Kshatram, Kshatriya Jati. Ime Lokaha, all these worlds. Ime Devaha, all Devas. Imani Bhutani, all these beings. It is not Panchabhutas, all these beings, all these creations. Then, Idam Sarvam, all these are what? Yatim, I am Atma. So, yatu idam sarvam that I am Atma ityanvaya. That's how you should write it. So, what is this all? That is nothing but I am Atma or the Self. And here also, Yajnavalkya as Upanishad is very, very clear. If it said only idam sarvam Atma without saying the word I am, then we will all think that there is some Paramatma who is sitting beyond the clouds in Kailasa or Vaikuntha somewhere. And that Paramatma alone is everything. We are not talking about some Atma up above the clouds. But we talk of I am Atma. So Acharya tells in Mandukya Bhashyam, Hasta Abhinayena Darshayati. By showing the hand, I am Atma Brahmeti. So when Yajnavalkya says this, he says, I am Atma, I am. So what is Vedanta? I am Atma, I am all. I am Atma, I am all. Idam Sarvam, Yadayam Atma. That is what is said in this mantra. The most important statement, Idam Sarvam, Yadayam Atma. Because we don't find a similar statement anywhere else in the Upanishad so clearly. We can see many significances for this statement also. So we will discuss some of them because they're very important statement. If you translate this in English, what will be it is? It will be, I am all these. So I am all these is a statement. So what important ideas are conveyed through this mantra when we say it is, I am all these? What does it? So we'll see actually four corollaries. There are many that could be discussed, but we'll see four corollaries for this mantra. So if you take, for example, corollary one is what? Through this statement, Yajnavalkya proves the phalam that he has promised in the last mantra. What he said? Darshanena shravanena matya idam sarvam viditam bhavati. That's what he said. Or to put simply, eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam bhavati. So by knowing one, you know everything. Then we will wonder, how can one know everything by knowing Atma, Eka Atma? Because Atma is Sarva. And so Atma Jnanam is Jnanam of everything. Thus, Eka Vijnanenam, Sarva Vijnanam is proved through this statement. And the corollary number two is Atma Praptihi is Sarva Kama Praptihi. That is very important. Soho Shnute Sarvan Kama Ansaham Brahmana Vipaschiteti. Again, Taitriya. So that is why at the end, Ahamannam, 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 Ahamannado, Ahamannado, Ahamannadaha. So all these Shruti Vakyams, they all come in various places. Ahamannam, Ahamannam, Ahamannadaha. Atma is everything. Discovering that I am Atma is discovering that I am everything. And when I discover I am everything, what happens? When I discover I am everything, I know that nothing is away from me. There is no distance between anything and me. And kama comes when? Desire. When something is away from me or something is not mine, then I desire that. Desire is caused by distance. Atmajnanam removes the distance. Therefore, all desires are gone. All desires are fulfilled. There is nothing to be achieved because everything is me. By showing Atma is everything, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad shows that Atma Praptihi is Sarva Kama Praptihi. In another verse, it is Purnatva Praptihi, fullness. Aham Purnosmi. Then on, I don't miss anything. But those who look at everything as Anatma, miss people, miss everything, miss situations, and above all, miss Atma and miss Atmananda also. So the greatest advantage is that I don't miss anything. How wonderful it will be. If someone asks, what do you want? I have to scratch my head to say something, not because I want it, but just to please them. I don't feel I lack anything. Aham Purnaha Asmi. What a beautiful state of mind. Therefore, Purnatva Praptihi is revealed and established in this mantra. Purnatva Praptihi. And the corollary number three is only after this knowledge, universal love is possible. That is, idam sarvam yadayam atma jnanam. That atma, that jnanam, only when that jnanam comes, then how do you establish that? How do you establish that jnanam? Because before this knowledge, I alone am atma. Everything else was anatma before this knowledge. And according to Upanishadic dictum, what do I love? My love, it is not will born, not born out of my free will. It is an intrinsic thing. It is an instinctive fact. Whether you like it or not, that is not the question. It is the universal dictum that we love ourselves only and none else. As long as other things are anatma, I can never love them from my heart truly. As we said, I show fake love, which will become clear someday. And the discovery will be a big shocking fact. Therefore, the universal love is not possible as long as you look at the world as anatma, different from you. Therefore, what is the only way of universal love? Reduce all anatma into atma. There should not be any anatma different from atma. And how do you do that? Easily said. By this knowledge only, idam sarvam yadayam atma. By that knowledge. So what is the means of universal love? Atma jnanam. That alone is said in the Bhagavad Gita also. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. Not one, not two, all of them. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. Maitra karuna evacham. Nirmama onirahankaraha. Santushtaha satam. All these various words, they are all can be derived from this mantra. It's a very good exercise for us to relate to this mantra and understand those shlokas. Corollary number four then. It is going to be a technical corollary, so which we will have to spend some detail to understand that. That is the revelation of Jagan Mithyatvam. That is most difficult. How to say the world is unreal, unreality of the world. How it is said, we will see generally first, and then we will go to the technical discussion after that. So, what is the general this thing? When Yajnavalkya says that Atma alone is everything, it indirectly means that there is nothing other than Atma, which means there is nothing independent of Atma. That is, world does not have an independent existence. Therefore, world is mithya. Because these are all definitions. So, atma vetirikta satta abhavadim, swayam satta abhavadim, sarvam mithya iti siddham bhavati. Essence of this statement is that. So, everything else is mithya. This we will discuss a little bit technically, but there is a general statement. If you go to technically, because it is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we have to see, because Acharya has spent enormous time in interpreting all these mantras. So at least we have to scratch the tip at least of the iceberg. All words in this idam sarvam yad ayam atma, grammatically, all the words are in nominative case. And this usage is called samanadhikaranyam. Samanadhikaranyam. It is appositional usage, not oppose, not oppose, O-P-P-O-S-E. It is appositional usage. This is a particular usage. So the positioning of things are the conditions of beings side by side or close together. That is the thing, or a relationship between two or more words or phrases in which the two units are grammatically parallel and have the same reference. We are going to see examples. So now what is samanadhikaranyam? When many words are used in the same case ending to indicate one and the same object, then it is called the samanadhikaranyam. So, samanam adhikaranyam, adhikaranam vishayaha, yesham tani padani. So, samana adhikaranani padani. That is how the definition is. So, adhikaranam, object. So, samanam adhikaranam, only object. For what? For many words. So normally, when there are many words, there will be many objects. Table, chair, pen, books. There are four words and four objects. But sometimes we use many words, but all of them indicate one object. For example, Dasaratha Putra, Dasaratha Putraha, Sita Bharta, and then Lakshmana Bhrata, all refer to Rama. One person reveals Rama. So this is called Samanadhikaranyam. So this usage is there in scriptures in different contexts, in different meanings. So we will see some examples and then come to the mantra. To understand the mantra, we should understand all this a little bit. So one example it gives is, the Shastra gives is, Visheshana Visheshya Bhave Samanadhikaranyam. Words used in same case when relationship is adjective and noun. So Guna Guni. So, for example, there is an example they give, Neelam Utpalam. Utpalam means lotus. Neelam means blue. It's a blue lotus. So, it is adjective. Blue is adjective. Lotus is the noun. So, adjective noun. Expect like. So, Visheshana, Visheshya Bhavi, Samanadhikaran. And the second example they give is, IK Samanadhikaran. Actually, there are some Shastri, I think he has written about 16 of the Samanadhikaran. We are going to see only 3-4. So, he has given 16 and all. So, we use same case ending for two words, where when both are same, so soyam devadattaha, so that person is devadatta. When you point out that person is devadatta, it is not adjective noun, but both are one and the same. That person is devadatta, both are one and the same. The person and devadatta, both are same. And the classic example in Vedanta is tattvamasi, all mahavakyams. Tattvamasi, maham brahmasmi, prajnanam brahma, ayam atma brahma, all are Aikya Samanadhikaranyam. Appositional usage reveals the oneness between these two. And the third possibility is Upasanayam Samanadhikaranyam. Two words are used in the same case to indicate that one should be meditated upon the other. For example, Purusho Bhava Gautama Agnihi. In Chandogya Upanishad, we already saw this. Purusho Bhava Gautama Agnihi. Man is fire. Purushaha here means man. Man is fire, Agnihi. Then there cannot be an adjective noun relationship. No Aikya Samanadhikaranyam is possible. So it is Upasanayam Samanadhikaranyam. So look upon man as fire in Panjagni Vidya. That is the context there. And the next Upanishad says, one doesn't have to think only Purusha is Agni. The Upanishad itself says, woman is also fire. Yoshavam Gautama Agni. So that is also Upanishad says. So then the last one is relevant for this mantra is called Bhadayam Samanadhikaranyam. Replacing a wrong vision with a right vision. It is an appositional usage which is meant to replace a wrongly seen object by the right object. For correcting a wrong usage. And the famous example we all know, it is Rajju Sarpaha. So M Rajju Sarpaha, this snake you see is rope. That is the statement. You know the background of this. So he sees the rope as a snake. Therefore, snake is wrong vision. And the teacher corrected as the snake that you see is nothing but rope. And from that, snake is dismissed and in its place, rope is seen. Since there is a displacement of one by the other, this is a wrong vision. Therefore, displacement of snake and replacement with rope, it is called displacement or bhadayam samanadhikaranya. Now, what is the start statement here? All this is Atma. That is what the Upanishad says. So we have to find out what are these various things that we discussed would fit here. And we will have to establish this is bhadayam samanadhikaranya. So what are the four samanadhikaranya we just saw? So viseshana, visesha bhavaha, neelam utpalam example we gave, blue lotus. That is, can we take the world as adjective or viseshanam of Atma? If so, we are entering visishtadvaitam. If you take world as the viseshanam, then we are entering into visishtadvaitam, visishtam, so viseshena mukta, endowed with an adjective or attribute. So world is the attribute of the Lord. That's what it says. That is not acceptable to us because nirvisheshaha advaitam. Advaitam is nirvisheshaha. And we can give so many reasons also for that. One logical reason is what? World and Atma are diagonally opposite in their nature. World is jadam, inert. Atma is sentient, chetanam. It's a conscious principle. World is savikaram, subject to modifications, change. Atma is nirvikaram, changeless. World is inert. Atma is sentient. World is ashuddham and Atma is shuddham. Therefore, first possibility is ruled out. Now, if you take the second one, Aikya Samanadhikaranya, whether it is possible to have it that way, why can't world and Atman be one and the same? We say that is also not possible because world and Atma are diagonally opposite nature. Lakshana Bedad Vastu Bedaha. Lakshana. How can a Jada Prapancha be identical with the Chetana Prapancha? How can Savikara Prapancha be identical with Nirvikara Atma? Chetana Atma. How can Ashuddha Prapancha be identical with Shuddha Atma? Aikyam is worse than Visheshana Bhavaha. So second possibility is also rejected. And then if you take the Upasanayam Samanadhikaranyam, the Upanishads ask to see world as Brahma. The world as Brahma. Meditate upon the world as Brahma. And Acharya analyzes this, not in this context, in some other context, not in Brahadaranya context, in somewhere else. So this is not found in Brahadaranya. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a famous sloka that we all know. Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agno, Brahma Nahutam, Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. That's the sloka. That is a commentary upon Idam Sarvam Edayam Atma. Acharya asked the question, can we take as Upasanayam Samanadhikaranyam? That is, see the world as Brahman. We don't accept that option also. Why? Any upasana is different from knowledge. In upasana, you see one thing as another thing. Therefore, it is atasmin tad buddhihi. Therefore, it is called ayatartha jnanam. Yatartha jnanam is a factual knowledge. Ayatartha jnanam is non-factual knowledge. You are meditating. You are using it as a symbol. Perception. Deliberately imposed perception. Therefore, it cannot come under jnanam. If it is not samyak darshanam, it is asamyak or ayatartha darshanam. So if it is not knowledge, it will come under karma then. Therefore, upasanayam samanadhikaranam is asamyak darshana rupam karma bhavati. Non-factual perception, therefore it is karma. So if it is karma, then it can never lead to amritattva moksha. So karma will always give you limited result only. Or parichinna or nashvara palam only. We have already seen these terms earlier. So na karmana na prajayadanena. Na karmana. Don't give at all. Whereas Yajnavalkya begins his teaching for amritattvam or samsara. Maitreya's question was, will I get immortality from all this wealth that you are trying to distribute between me and Katyayani? Then Yajnavalkya said that you cannot get moksha with this.
Only through jnanam alone you can get. Therefore, what follows is not upasana, but jnanam alone. Therefore, upasanayam, samanadikaranyam cannot stand in this context. It may apply somewhere else. In this context, that is, world is Brahman, cannot be upasana. So now we are left with padayam samanadikaranyam. Therefore, world is Brahman means what you see world erroneously is factually Brahman. Look at that. What you see world erroneously, your erroneous perception is actually factually Brahman. In fact, there is no world separate from Brahman. Therefore, world is mithya because it does not have an independent existence. For Jagan Mithya and Brahma Satyam, this mantra is a very crucial statement. Such a statement we don't get in any other Upanishad actually. And therefore, Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya. And therefore only we should remember that when we say Sarvatma Bhavaha is an incidental clarification here, which means Sarvam Atma Iti Bhavaha. The vision that everything is Atma. So we should not think Jnani sees everything as Atma. What do you mean by this? Remember, Jnani sees everything as Atma. That means Jnani sees everything is non-different from Atma and therefore Mithya. So Sarvatma Bhavaha means Sarva Mithya Darshanam. Everything is Mithya. That is what Jnani thinks. Everything is Mithya. Atma alone is Satyam. So this is the fourth significance of Samanadikaranyam. So there are so many of these cases, but we took only four of them because some scholars, they interpret in so many different ways, but this is adequate for us. Essentially, we are only seeing some glimpses of how bhashyas and interpretations are given for very, very complex mantras like this. Now we will only read the next mantra and do the explanation in the next webinar. Mantra number 2.4.7. Sayatha dhundubehanyamanasya na bahyan chabdan shaknyad grahanayam dundubestu grahanenam dundubhyaghatasya vam shapto grahitaham isayatha shankasya dhyayamanasya na bahyan chabdan shaknyad grahanayam shankasya tu grahanenam Shankadmasya vam shabdo grahitaham sa yata veenayai vadyamanayayim na bahyan shabdhan shakniyad grahanayam veenayai tu grahanenam veena vadasya vam shabdo grahitaham. So in the sixth mantra we just saw before this, Yajnavalkya taught Atma is everything. So he established Atma Jnanena Sarvajnanam Bhavati. Atma Jnaha Sarvajnaha Bhavati. One who knows Atma knows everything. Eka Vijnanena Sarvajnanam. He said Atma no Vare Shrutya. Shrutya means Shravana. Shrotavyaha. Matya Vijnanena Vijnatena Sarvam Idam Viditam Syat. He substantiated that statement there. And this portion can be taken. There is a sixth mantra. So this is called the Shravanam portion of Sadhana. That's what we said. The sixth mantra can be taken as the Shravanam portion of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Shravanam portion of the statement, it could be taken as a Sadhana for that. Whereas the main teaching is given what? Is Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithyam, or still better is Atma Satyam, Jagat Mithya. Atma, I am. I am the only reality. Everything other than me is mithya. Therefore, they cannot taint me. They cannot affect me. They cannot change me. Now the following portions, the mantras that we just now read, and also up to 12th mantra, they correspond to manana. So sixth was over with sravanam. Now mananam is what being addressed here. And mananam aspect of the teaching. And we are going to first see maybe a summary of this portion, and then we will elaborate it in some detail maybe later in the next webinar, because it's already about 10 o'clock. So I'm going to wind up here, and then we will see the rest of the explanation of these three mantras. Very three examples are given, all corresponding to the same idea. We are going to see it in the next class. Yo vedadau svarapokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leena seya parasa maheshwara.
Sri Krishna Namaste Narayan. Let's start.